I want you to look again at our text, especially verse 38. You'll see something unthinkable happens in the ministry and the lives of Paul and Barnabas. It says, but Paul, verse 38, thought not good to take him with them, being John Mark, of course, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. Now, folks, the reason we say that this, quote, sharp contention, this personal battle, was so unthinkable at that time is that it was an argument that led to a falling out, a division among the greatest missionary team who had just finished the greatest missionary campaign in all of history. Beginning back in chapter 13 of Acts, specifically separated out by the Holy Spirit himself, Paul and Barnabas, as you know, took the gospel to the darkest and the most hostile people imaginable, virtually 100% unreached territory. And the result of that missionary journey was nothing less than glorious. In fact, the summary of Paul and Barnabas' trip is fairly given here in chapter 15 and verse 12. Look at it. Then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. Miracles, wonders among the Gentiles. Oh, yes. And with all of that, the establishing of churches with new converts in Cyprus, Paphos, Perga, Iconium, Lystra, Perga, Pisidia, Pamphylia. It was a miracle trip because of a miracle God. And of course, as with all trips, if you've read the narrative, there were twists and turns and stops and all kinds of sights and sounds along the way. If it was a war, both of these men would have been granted and given the Medal of Honor. So imagine then the bond that was forged between Paul and Barnabas, with all of their shared experiences, their highs and their lows as they journeyed together. They were in the spiritual foxhole together often. And this was a bond, as you know, that was confirmed by the empowering Spirit of God that came upon both of them. Which brings us again to this text. Because in light of all of this glory and grace, this great fellowship, what is this sharp contention? What is this severe breaking up all about? You'll notice verse 39 says, quote, they departed asunder. That is an emphatic adverb. You know, the Bible says, let not man put asunder. It says they departed asunder one from the other. What do you call that little missionary detail? Well, I tell you what, given the journey and the trip and the metaphor of a road, this, beloved, would be a pothole. Not a little South Florida hand-sized pothole. This was a great big Detroit, Michigan springtime gaping pothole. This is the kind that rattles your teeth and ruins your alignment and cracks your rim. This was a pothole in the road of God's will that had the potential of putting the entire journey at risk, leading to bitterness and discouragement and dismay. You see what it says at verse 39? The contention was so sharp. It wasn't just a contention, and it wasn't just a sharp contention. The contention was so sharp that Satan would have loved this pothole for all of its destructive power. Except, of course, none of those potential damages ever bore any fruit. Paul didn't quit. Barnabas didn't quit. Neither did John Mark up and quit. In fact, not only did the journeys continue, beloved, but they increased. Souls were saved. God was glorified. Churches were established, epistles were written, John Mark himself became fruitful. Paul and Silas became legend. And Barnabas proved why he was named the encourager by all of the other apostles. There was a pothole along the way, and yes, it was very unpleasant indeed, as they always are. But it's what happened after the pothole that defines what a disciple and what a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ truly is and truly does. And I know this. I know that God has a message for every believer here in this room. He also has a message for those who are yet still unbelievers. Father, please help us on this Lord's Day morning to hear your word. And Lord, we know today that none of these details are insignificant. That there is nothing superfluous in your word. That all scripture is given by your inspiration and is profitable. I pray we'll understand why you have revealed these truths to us. For our own hearts and for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. The big freeze up north is over for now. I know I was in Chicago in 1982, when the old record was set at 27 degrees below zero. Rockford, Illinois hit 30 below this past Thursday. And all of it, of course, thanks to the so-called polar vortex. And of course, along with that level of sub-zero temperatures that sustained over days comes the single worst consequence in the history of mankind: potholes. Anytime you have a deep freeze with another warming up period, the high in Chicago tomorrow is 50 degrees. That's a 77 degree difference in less than a week in that one town alone. Well, it's that same freeze and thaw cycle that destroys highways and roads. Water seeps into the cracks, it freezes, and then it expands, and then it thaws, and the pavement contracts, and that allows even more moisture to come in, and over the winter, it freezes and expands again, and so it goes, leading to these scattered, little demonic, saltwater-filled potholes. I can tell you that the news up north right now isn't just about the cold and the snow. Right now, it's about the massive road damage and the bone-shattering crevices all over those areas. 5 years in Chicago with our family, 2 years driving around in Detroit, I learned how to drive like Mario Andretti with those potholes, or Super Mario, for that matter, dodging and weaving and negotiating and straddling. Potholes, I can tell you, are awful. And I can tell you this, I don't complain. I never complain about the teeny tiny little potholes we have in Florida. Okay, I rarely complain about the little things. I do complain about the 5 billion speed bumps in the town of Jupiter. Right? Speed bumps, speed humps, speed tables. For some reason, they put them right in front of a stop sign. Who designs and has these ideas? I don't know. Paul and Barnabas, on their missionary highway that was ordained by God, has hit a huge pothole. And you know what, beloved? Like all potholes, it was sudden, it was strong, and it was concerning. Potholes make you swerve, they make you sweat, and if you're Brother Remo, they make you swear. Amen? I'm just kidding. It brings us to this amazing narrative in Acts and some very important lessons about God's will and God's work in the lives of his own. And of course, the first, the most obvious lesson to notice, number one, is that potholes are inevitable. I want you to look at verse 35. It says, Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. But you know what that sounds like? That sounds like a smooth road of gospel glory. Can you imagine the spirit in that place? The first journey is over. They're back in Antioch. They're teaching and preaching the word of the Lord. What a place to be, hearing Paul and Barnabas expound the Bible. And every illustration they use is of some glorious thing that happened on that missionary journey. Wow. Verse 36. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. Wow, more smooth roads. How awesome it must have been in that place at that time. What could possibly go wrong? Verse 37. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. Wow, I can tell you right now that I sense a pothole ahead. And you know why? Because Barnabas has determined something that includes a person, a human being. And as with all human beings, this had the potential to bring in heartache and trouble. Anytime you deal with people, even good and godly people, guess what you can expect? Well, you can expect potholes. If you think about these two men for a moment, more than once the Bible says that both of these men were filled and empowered with the Holy Spirit of God. Both of them are called apostles. That means sent ones. Barnabas was given his name, again, encourager, by all of the apostles, because that's exactly what he was. These two men are as inseparable, as close, as spiritually compatible as two Christian men could possibly be. I'll remind you that it was Barnabas, the Bible says, filled with the Holy Spirit, who went all the way to Tarsus and encouraged a very discouraged and younger Saul not to quit the ministry. And then it was Paul, who was separated with Barnabas by the Holy Spirit's leading to go out of the church of Antioch in that first missionary journey. Barnabas and Saul became Paul and Barnabas, and in every way, their relationship was a partnership made in heaven. You see the last line of verse 25? It says to send chosen men unto you with our beloved, beloved Barnabas and Paul. And they were beloved. They traveled together. They won souls together. They established churches together. They were persecuted together. They sailed to new lands together. And now, after this very, very important meeting with all the apostles at Jerusalem, they're about to return to all of those young churches and converts together. What could be better? And yet, beloved, because of a difference of opinion about a man named John Mark and his qualifications for yet another journey, this wonderful team, this potentially powerful missionary trip, all that these men were known for and had worked for is about to dissolve. In fact, had there been tabloids in the first century, I guarantee there would have been big headlines. The breakup of Paul and Barnabas, big bold letter, missionary madness. And underneath there's this doctored picture with a jagged line between Paul over here and Barnabas, and angry looks on their faces as they look at each other. And the truth is, this was a certainty, the talk and the gossip of many. Well, Paul and Barnabas they've parted ways. You can also be sure that neither of these men ever planned for this, that neither of these men wanted these unfortunate circumstances. But guess what? Here they are. And do you know what it tells me this morning, folks? It tells me that potholes are inevitable. If these anointed godly men have bumps along the road, then who are you and I not to? And of course, not all potholes are disagreements or contentions. Sometimes they're persecutions. Sometimes they're oppositions and sicknesses and afflictions. Paul himself hit a pothole on the journey to Lystra when he was stoned and dragged outside the city and left there for dead. And that leads us to the second lesson in the text. Number one, potholes are inevitable for every child of God. Number two, potholes are inconvenient. Verse 36 again. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord. Now, folks, as we've already noted, This missionary team was a well-oiled machine, truly oiled by the anointing Spirit of God himself. So that, you know what they were? They were a force to be reckoned with. And if you read chapter 13 and chapter 14 and most of chapter 15, you can see what a powerful impact they had everywhere they went together. This was an impact that was about to continue all the way to the end of chapter 15. Verse 37, and Barnabas determined to take with them John. I want to ask you a question. As a Christian, have you ever determined to do something? Did you ever have plans, goals, hopes, and dreams? Barnabas did. Not only that, so did Paul. I want you to follow this and watch what happens in this narrative very, very carefully. It's not by accident we're given all this glorious information. Look at what you would at chapter 15 and verse 25. It says, "It seemed good unto us, of being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul. Men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have sent, therefore, Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by mouth." Now, wait a minute. Do you realize this is another great team? Judas and Silas, great men of God, the Bible says, who hazarded their very lives for the gospel's sake. They went into harm's way. What a team. Verse 32, "And Judas and Silas, being prophets also themselves, exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them." Again, beloved, here are two missionary groups, if you will, Judas and Silas, Barnabas and Paul, and another young man named John Mark. What could be better? What could be clearer in the will of God? But what happened? I'm going to tell you what happened, beloved. Life happened. Barnabas had an idea. He had a suggestion that would ultimately lead to a huge pothole for all of these men, including Judas and Silas. See verse 39. "The contention was so sharp between them, they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed into Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas and departed." Now wait a minute. Let me ask you a question. What happened to Judas? He was with Silas. He's not in the plans anymore. Wasn't Silas the companion of Judas, not Paul? Well, he was, but guess what? The plans have changed. They changed for Judas, who's not going with Silas anymore. They've changed for Silas, who's now going to Syria. They've changed for Barnabas and Mark, who are now sailing off to Cyprus. Now, folks, you talk about inconvenient. You see, folks, look, potholes can put you on the side of the road, on another road, or in Judas's case, as far as we understand right now, on no road. An unknown road. Some of you here this morning, you are dealing right now with some very similar frustration. You hit a pothole, something happened, and you think that your life is derailed or destroyed by all of it. But I want to remind you this morning of something. This is the Word of God. These are men of God. These are all anointed apostles of our Lord. It is not that you're on the side of the road, that your life is over. It's just a pothole, and all it really is inconvenience. And I want to remind you this morning, never, never, never give up, never quit your vocation or your location. If it's not exactly what you planned, that's perfectly fine with the Lord. For some of you young people in this room, do you know that it's completely okay if you haven't found your ideal mate as yet? It's fine. I saw a meme some time ago and it said, "The ideal man, Mr. Potato Head, because he's tanned, he's cute, he has accessories, and if he looks at another woman, you can rearrange his face." Amen? So, you haven't found Mr. Potato Head yet? It's not the end of the world. It's never the end of the world if you're not exactly where you thought you would be 15 or 10 or 5 years ago. I can remember a time in my life when I felt like I wasn't where I wanted to be. I grew up in South Florida, as most of you know, graduated Martin County High School, but even in grade school, I lived in Satellite Beach. A typical day for my childhood at Satellite Beach was riding my bike home and either having board shorts underneath my school clothes or running to the house. We lived on A1A. You could throw a rock from our house to the beach. I know you could throw rocks and hit cars driving down A1A by personal testimony. So imagine my surprise as a South Florida beach bum when after Bible college I was ministering in a church in northern Michigan and Canada. And besides the cold, there was another very unpleasant situation we didn't like and never planned for. Man, I can remember those cold winters coming into our tiny little apartment. 20 below zero, 15 inches of snow. Rick was born in Port Huron. You could see Canada from his hospital room, and it was a snowstorm, 23 inches the day before. We had to have a four-wheeler come and get us and take us to the hospital. I remember those days. And I know I'd watch the news, and whenever it was the absolute coldest, they would play these same commercials over and again. On this commercial, there'd be this Jamaican guy on the beach with a big, toothy, white smile. Balmy breezes blowing through the palm fronds behind him. And you've seen him, right? Maybe you did back in the 70s and 80s. He'd be standing in this azure blue water, and he said, "Come to Jamaica, brother. It's your new island home." And oh, man, I wanted to come. "I'm coming, man." In my dreams. And man, I can remember thinking, I want to be there, not here. But I can tell you this, looking back on all the so-called inconvenience, especially that one side road that our family never planned for, you know what I realized? It was all perfect for us. If you're here this morning and you feel like some pothole has ruined you, do you want to know the truth? You know what the truth is? The truth is it hasn't ruined anything. All it's really done in the scheme of things is inconvenienced you. It hasn't ended anything. In fact, if your life has taken a 90-degree turn, it's probably the beginning of something. You say, "Pastor, I thought for sure that I'd have that promotion by now. I thought for sure that I'd be married by now or fully recovered by now or financially secure in a different location or vocation." So that in your own mind, you are totally incapacitated. You are totally derailed from the will of God. All you really are is inconvenienced. Have you noticed it wasn't just Barnabas who was inconvenienced by all of this because he determined to do something? I want you to look at chapter 16, would you? Notice what it says in verse 6. This is Paul now. He's going on his own with Silas, and it says, "And when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia." Forbidden? It's an interesting word, isn't it, when you're trying to do something for the Lord? Verse 7 says, "After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered or allowed them not." Forbidden again. Now, folks, you see the word "essayed" in verse 7? We've noted in the past that word means determined. Paul determined to go to Bithynia. Paul was the kind of man, as you know, that when he set out to do something, he did it. He was a "this one thing I do" kind of a man. He was a "none of these things move me" kind of a man. He was a man of determination and vision and zeal. He went to Jerusalem even as a prophet warned him not to do it. He still made it. And that's why verse 7 is powerful. He essayed, he determined, he planned, he attempted to go to Bithynia. And for good reason, Bithynia was the province of his hometown of Tarsus. It was heavily populated, and especially with Jews, and he had a burden for those people. Bithynia was the perfect place for Paul to take the gospel. But verse 6 says that he and Timothy were forbidden. And I can tell you, for a man like Paul, inconveniences don't come easy. Remind you that he himself testified that he had to, quote, learn in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content, whether it's a state of trouble or trial or the state of Florida or the state of Illinois. So here he is. He's not in Bethany at all. He's not with his family or his lost loved ones or the synagogue he grew up in to give them the gospel. He is seemingly spinning his wheels now in Troas. His heart was set for the north. But now we see him sort of wandering way down there in the south. And of course, now he has to decide again what to do. Look at it, verse 7. And after we were come to Mysia, they essayed to go to Bithynia. But the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. Now, note this carefully. Because I'm telling you, if we could have interviewed the Apostle Paul at this moment in his life, we can imagine what he would have said. Paul, what are you and Timothy and Luke doing here in Troas? Where's Barnabas? What happened to the dream team? I thought you had planned to go to Bithynia. I thought that by now you would have been reaching some of those people with the gospel and visiting those other churches from before. In fact, weeks ago, Paul, you showed us a PowerPoint presentation called Bithynia Baptist Missions. We took a Bithynia for Christ love offering. I gave 100 shekels myself. What happened, Paul? I want my money back. And do you realize that before the Macedonian call there in verse 9, Paul would have had to say, I don't know. He would have had to say, I really don't know why we are 500 miles away in a place that I never planned to be in. All of my AAA maps are highlighted for Bithynia. But here I am. And folks, I don't know exactly how inconvenient this was for Paul or Timothy. I don't know how troubling it was with all of this, but I can tell you his inconvenience is not an anomaly in the Christian life. It is the norm in the Christian life. You will scarcely find any believer on this earth who many times along the potholed road of life did not have to settle for second or third or fourth choice on his list. In fact, a lot of Christians find themselves in a place that was never on their list, ever. Some of you, perhaps even now, are sitting out there extremely disappointed that you haven't reached your Bithynia and maybe you're in Troas and you don't even know yet which way to turn or why God put you there or where you're supposed to be 5 years from now or a year from now. Can I tell you something? It doesn't matter. Guess what? You're fine. Just don't quit. Just don't get bitter. And don't consider yourself a failure because you are not in the will of God. And here's why you're not. Number one, potholes are inevitable. Number two, potholes are inconvenient. But number three, a reminder that potholes are incidental. Now, wait a minute, Pastor. I'm no genius, but I know the English language, and I know the word incidental means secondary. It means something minor. How dare you call my pothole something minor? Maybe your pothole doesn't feel incidental, but feeling or not, it's still the truth. I want you to go back to our text in chapter 15, and I want you to look again at verse 39. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed into Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. In other words, the pothole was incidental. In other words, the will of God was still there. God is everywhere. So you can follow him and hear him and do his will anywhere. Let me ask you a question. Do you know what, and I don't want you to turn ahead because I'm going to read it anyway. Do you know what the last verse in the book of Acts says? Now, wait a minute. This is after all the journeys of Paul. with all of the potholes that lie before him of jail and arrests and beatings and betrayals and shipwreck and stonings. Pothole after pothole after pothole. The entire amazing book of Acts closes with these words: preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. The potholes were incidental. I mean, they hurt. They were inconvenient. But in the plan of God, they were just incidental. Adoniram Judson spent years of his life planning to go to India. What a godly young man he was. Adoniram Judson studied the language. He was brilliant. He wanted to translate scripture in their language. He planned, he prepared, he boarded a ship. He spent every dime he had. He went all the way to India and he was turned away. And he ended up in France. And a lot of Christians have said, I don't understand why. This is not fair, Lord, why I quit. He tried again. He was turned away. He said, if I can't go to India, I'll go somewhere else. Who needs the gospel? Burma. He went to Burma, and that ministry in Burma changed missions throughout the entire world. It was just an incidental pothole. Though in our eyes, and in man's eyes, it was a reason to quit and be bitter. There was a pothole for Paul and Barnabas way back when Barnabas took John Mark and sailed off to Cyprus. And yes, it looked bad on paper. And yet, beloved, as sad, as unfortunate, as disheartening and confusing as this must have been to many of the early believers, the fact remains, the will of God and the purposes of heaven were not assaulted at all. God was not phased from his throne. Instead, he used this very contention to expand and to increase the gospel ministry. Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. Paul chose Silas and went to Syria. And through it all, Satan was defeated. God was glorified. Souls were saved. And ultimately, Paul and Barnabas and John and Silas and Judas and Timothy all ultimately made it home to glory. Pastor, in Florida, we don't have potholes. We have sinkholes, and I'm in a sinkhole. You know what? Paul had some sinkholes as well. Joseph, as we were reminded of last Sunday night, had a huge sinkhole. But every time he was put into another one, the Bible says the Lord was with him. Through all the potholes and the sinkholes, the Lord was with him, and the Lord is with you. I don't know who you are and what your need is today exactly, but I know this. I know that God knows where you are. He knows where you're going to be tomorrow and a month from now, at the end of this year, if he tarries. And he knows that he'll be with you and that all you have to do is trust him. And don't get bitter. And don't quit. And keep going forward for his glory. Father, bless now the invitation. We commit it to your hand. Thank you, dear God, for your word. And thank you for the truth of it, that in every way it speaks to us as your people, and even those in this room who are lost today, speak to them, please, in Jesus' name, amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.com. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.